Well, that was a lot of worship. No one got it. All of them were lots up here. And hopefully, I won't speak a lot to you guys. There we go. I am so happy to be here with you guys and being able to bring God's word to you. It has been a handful of months since I've last been here to be able to speak to you guys. And it was a joy to bring that message, and I believe God has a really good message for us this morning, and a good encouragement for us, too. Especially understanding where we're at in this journey as we're coming out of everything that has happened within this world, and we're dealing with the repercussions of it, and as we are striving forward as a church family, as a congregation. But before I get into the message, I just want to give you guys a quick little update on my ministry with YFC. A lot has happened in July, more so a lot of traveling and a lot of different conferences, retreats, and things like that. But over the course of the summer, we've been running summer programs with kids and doing a lot of outreach within communities that we haven't been doing outreach in at all before. And we got to see so many kids coming out to our programs, not at the beginning, but actually as we neared the end of the programs, we started seeing more and more kids coming out to our programs where we were able to share the gospel with them, where we were able to connect with them, and not only connect with them specifically, but connect with their parents so that we're able to build roots within those communities. And it's been a great summer, and then we've also had other programs like our ball hockey camp and other things like that where we were able to start back up that we'd been running before COVID. And so we got to see lots of kids and youth come out to that too. And so thank you so much for you guys supporting and praying for not only me, but also for Karen, her role with OM, and as she's been navigating through everything with OM. And so thank you so much for that. And if you guys ever want to hear more and more detail about what I've been up to, I can, if you guys give me your email, I can sign you up for my email list. Or if you want to just have a conversation and talk, I'm more than happy to do that. I love going out for coffee. I'm more than happy to make the drive down here to connect also. And so, anyways, before we get into the message, I just want to pray quickly. And so, as we pray, Lord, our hearts are quiet before you right now. Lord, as our hearts are still, we reflect on your goodness. We reflect on who you are to us, Lord. That because of who you are, you've sent your Son here to this earth. That he walked on this earth, performing many miracles, but Lord, performed the biggest miracle of all. Lord, that him going up onto the cross and him dying and raising again in 3 days brought us into beautiful union with you, and we choose to follow Jesus. And so, Lord, thank you for that gift of Jesus, but not only that gift, but also the gift of the Holy Spirit that you have given us, that you've not left us alone here. But yet when we call upon your name, that your Spirit is within us, speaking to us, guiding us, helping us live this life for you, to run this race for you, Lord. So Lord, as our hearts are still, we thank you so much for who you are. And I just pray for this message, that it penetrates our hearts, that, Lord, we are able to walk in step with you as we leave today, and that for the ones that are struggling with things in life, that, Lord, they can always look to you, look to your word, look to the Holy Spirit within them for guidance, God, for rest, for peace, perfect peace, Lord. We just pray this and ask this all in your Son's name. Amen. just need to pull up my notes here. Good. All right, so the passage that I'm going to be reading from is Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. So if you guys want to turn to Hebrews 12, 1 to 3, I'll give you guys a couple seconds to do that. Once again, Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. So starting off in verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. As I was preparing for this message, I was writing it out and I was thinking through it. There's this picture beside my desk in our spare bedroom, and it's this picture of my grandparents that passed away not too long ago, and they're standing in front of a Joshua tree. And this picture, I hold on to this picture because it was actually a picture that they gave to me on their last trip as they were coming back from Arizona, because they used to go down to Arizona every summer. And this picture is a good remembrance of the memories that I have with both of them. And particularly my grandfather, he's a very competitive person, very, very smart, and he loves sports. And so for my family, generally I was more of the sporty person. And so for me to talk about sports, it was usually him that I went to talk about it, because he had a lot deeper insight into sports and other competitive activities. And so I remember a time when I was in elementary school, and it was in grade 8, and I'd been doing cross country, and I ended up just finishing our local race here in Sterling with the other schools, and I ended up finishing sixth place, which is the highest I've ever placed in cross country, because I actually wasn't that good at running. I just did it mainly because it was a sport, and I like sports. And so, anyways, as we were, as I was sitting down talking to him, I was really excited to share this. I'm like, oh, I finished sixth. And I'm like, you know what, like, my strategy for that race was, I had my one friend that ended up placing right ahead of me. And so my strategy for that race that we ran where I got sixth was, I was just going to follow my friend. I was going to follow him, I'm going to run the race, and I'm going to keep up with him. He's like, because I knew my friend was a good runner. And so I ended up keeping up with him, ended up finishing in sixth place, and I told my grandfather this strategy, and he paused for a sec. He's just kind of thinking, and I'm like, I knew something good was going to come out of his mouth, or something very encouraging. And then he's like, that's a silly strategy. He's like, don't you want to win? Don't you want to finish the race as best as you possibly can, like in the best position as you possibly can? He's like, here's a better strategy for you. You find that friend again when you start racing, when you do your next race. He's like, once you see his back, you pass him. And then you run up to the next person, and you pass them. And then you run up to the next person, and you pass them. You see where I'm getting at with this? And I'm like, okay, grandfather, I'll try this out. He's like, and so the race came, and it was like our final cross-country race, and it was at Sandbanks, and it was all the schools in Prince Edward County were there. So there's about 100 kids in my age group. And so I'm like, this is very daunting. And it was a little bit longer than the previous race that I'd ran before. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to try it. I'm going to do it. So I found my friend. I'm running up. I pass him. And then I see the next person. I pass him. And I'm like, okay, I can keep doing this. I have still more energy. Pass him. And then eventually, I end up crossing the finish line. I had no clue what position I was in or anything like that. Afterwards, they end up walking up to me, and they ended up giving me a fifth place ribbon. And I'm like, that's like fifth place out of 100 people. It was like, and I was exhausted after that run. I don't think I could speak or walk afterwards. I need an oxygen tank, really. That's what I needed. But anyways, it's just this thought that really struck me as I was preparing for this message, is that we are called to run this race. And we're running not just for this mediocre prize, but we're running for the prize of which is Jesus and the cross. And to live a life for him, and we run it as hard as we can. And I believe in this passage it's debated about who the author is of Hebrews. But so the author of Hebrews has given us this passage. He's given us an amazing strategy to how we're called to live this life. And it may seem like it's a list, it's a works list of strategy like that we have to take part in doing. But the beauty is that God gives us grace and mercy as we are running it. And so the first thing in verse 1, the writer mentions a great cloud of witnesses that are before us. And so when I think of this, I think of in the Olympics, when you have this big stadium of all these people surrounding us. And all of us are running this race together. Where God has placed us, the community that God has placed us in. And we're running before this giant cloud of witnesses. And this cloud of witnesses is actually referring to the people mentioned in the Hall of Faith. Because the author starts off by saying, therefore, and he's following it up with Hebrews 11, which was listing a great number of people of the faith that have gone before him, like Abraham, David, all the prophets, that have been examples of running this race. And so the main idea is that us as believers today should be encouraged and stimulated by the ones that have gone before us, that are cheering us on as we're living out the call that God has placed on our hearts here and now. The next thing in verse 1, the author mentions, therefore, therefore, despite all this, in light of the great cloud of witnesses we're running before, this is throw off whatever is entangling us. Sin, things in our lives that are weighing us down, slowing us down. And when I think of this laying aside, this ridding, this putting off oneself, it's referring to the things that are weighing you down and getting in the way of you running this race. And when I think of the Olympics, once again, going back to that, we see runners in this very thin clothing. And they're not wearing a baggy sweater. They're not wearing a hat on. They're not carrying a backpack or anything like that. They're wearing the least amount of things possible, so there's nothing hindering them to running the best that they possibly can. And so what does that mean for us? Well, there might be some things in our life that are getting in the way. There might be some sin or something that God is calling us to just give it over to him. I know that we can reflect in our life and we can think of things that have gotten in the way or have caused us to stumble. God wants you to give it to him. God wants you to let go of it. Because he wants you to run this race to the best of your ability. In 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 7, it says, Paul saying, do you not know that this race is for all runners who run, but only the one who gets the prize? Run in such a way as you get the prize. Everyone who competes in this in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get the crown that will not last, but we do it to get the crown that will last forever. Therefore, do not run like someone running aimlessly. Paul says, I do not fight like a boxer beating into the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for this prize. We should rid ourselves of the things that are hindering us. As we are running this race as Christ followers, throwing off everything that gets in the way. The next part of this passage in Hebrews, the writer says this, "Run the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus." If we are to run this race, the very prize that Paul mentioned before, it's Jesus. If we are to live this life, the person that has already ran this race here on this earth was Jesus, who lived and died as an example for us what it means to live the Father's calling out here and now. And so when we look to our prize is not a fifth place ribbon. Our prize is not money or a crown or a piece of jewelry or anything like that. All that stuff fades away. Jesus is our prize. As we run this race that's marked out before us, Jesus is the one that we grab a hold of, that we look to. He is the finish line. He is what we want to live for. I feel like sometimes we can lose sight of that. I feel like sometimes we can lose sight of why we're doing what we're doing. Why we show up at church on Sunday. Why we choose to be a part of church as a family. We can't run a race without knowing. We can't live our life without knowing why we're running. Why we're doing it. And it's all because of him. And that's something, I struggle with that a lot too. There's moments in my life where I'm showing up to work in ministry. And I'm like, okay, why am I doing this? I feel exhausted and tired. I feel like I'm dealing with the exact same reoccurring issues with the same youth over and over again. But when I look, when I take a moment and I pause and be quiet, just like what we were doing when we prayed there, and we just focus and we think, why are we doing this? We are doing it because he first loved us. And we want to love the ones around us, and we want to run and give all that we have in this life for him. What greater call or mission is that to live your life for him? And God wants to meet you in those moments where you feel aimless, where you feel like you're just beating the air, as Paul said. And he wants to encourage you. He wants to encourage you through the people around you that are following Christ, that are living for him, that are focused on that goal. The same way that other runners will encourage each other as they're running a race. They'll say, oh, you can make it. It's just a little bit longer. You can do this. You have people in your life that can encourage you and walk with you through things in your life. You also have God's word, the scripture that is given to you to help you navigate through these feelings and these things that you're going through in life. And he's also given you and blessed you with the Holy Spirit to help navigate through this life, to help strengthen you when you feel that you have no strength to give. as we run this race, God is equipping us to do it. And so, at the end of this, at the end of these verses, it says, consider him who endured. Christ overcame this world. In John 16:33, it says, take heart. Jesus is saying this to his disciples. Take heart, for I have overcome this world. He's done it already for us. He's taken everything. He's taken sin. He's taken everything that separated us from the Father and brought us into union with him. And that through him we have righteousness to stand before God and say, thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for your love and your mercy for me. It's all because of him. And I think when we consider Jesus, when we consider him and what he has done for us, it helps strengthen us in this run, this race that we're running. And that's considering his sufferings. It's considering the miracles and the way he lived his life. It's considering what is to come too. It's not just the past and what has happened in the past, but it's the beautiful future that's to come with him. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says, 4:16 to 18, it says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us the eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We're fixing our eyes on that. If you want to be a part of living the call that God has placed on your life, living out that call, you can't forget about the one who first changed your life by fixing your eyes on him, on his glory and what he's done and what is to come, all of that. Now, some of you guys may struggle with this. And you might be saying to me, your mind, it's like, God, like this is hard. I feel like I've been beaten down in life. I've been struggling. You're not the only one. Maybe it's time to reach out and seek someone and talk to them about that. Spend some time praying to God, praying with people. Always helps. Maybe it's spending time in God's Word. Maybe it's putting on a song and just listening to it, a worship song. Maybe it's just finding silence and solitude and just asking God to collect your thoughts for you. If you struggle with this, I've struggled with it. And I'd be more than happy to talk with you through it. And so the challenge for us, in spite of all of that, is that God is good. And that when we know that God is good, and that we see that within Scripture, and you will probably have stories within your life of seeing, of moments where God has displayed his amazingness through your life. But sometimes you have a hard time seeing it. The challenge is it's time to start running your race. How can you be running your race right now? I encourage you, through this, this little quote that I have from Charles Spurgeon. So just recently, Kara's actually been reading through a book on the love on the marriage between Charles and his wife. And there's a specific part that she read to me recently that talks about the early years of Charles's ministry and when him and his wife had gotten married. And she talks about understanding and knowing that Charles has this mission and this call that God has placed on his life to preach, to share the gospel, and to live it out to the best of his ability. And she knew that Charles was so focused on Christ as he was running this race. And so for some of you guys who don't know who Charles Spurgeon is, he is a speaker, preacher, pastor, evangelist. And he's probably one of the people that I can see in that great cloud of witnesses cheering us on right now. And this quote starts off by saying, "The sublimest and the most inebriating and the most divine of all joys must be found in Jesus alone. I find if I want to labor much, I must live on Jesus only. If I desire to suffer patiently, I must feed on Jesus only. If I wish to wrestle with God successfully, I must plead Jesus only. If I aspire to conquer sin, I must use the blood of Jesus only. If I desire to learn the mysteries of heaven, I must seek the teachings of Jesus only. I believe that anything which we add to Christ lowers our position, and that the more elevated our souls become, the more nearly like what it is to be when it shall enter into the region of the perfect, the more complete everything, else we sink, die out, and Jesus only will be the first and the last in our lives." Charles's wife knew this about him, and Charles lived his life focused on Jesus. He ran his race focused on Jesus. And so if you want to seek strength, focus on Christ, him who endured, him who overcame this world for us. Because we're all running this race. And it can be hard. But we have him. And he's given us the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, our hearts are before you. Lord, I pray for everyone here, for me, Lord, that we are strengthened. Strengthened by not only that you've called us to be with you and called us into a relationship with you, but Lord, that we're running this race and our hearts and our minds are focused on you, and help us continue to do that. When things get hard and we feel so weak, Lord, it's just a reminder in our weakness, we need you more than anything. We need your strength more than anything. And Lord, thank you for the writer of Hebrews that has given us this amazing strategy that is centered around you on how we run this race together, encouraging one another as a family, as a church family, as the body of Christ. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us and giving us your Holy Spirit. We just pray this in your Son's name. Amen.